It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear the Screen Director's Playhouse with an adaptation of the motion picture Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House with Cary Grant. Right now, it's Time to Smile with Eddie Cantor, with special guest Cary Grant from May 19th, 1943 on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol-Myers, the makers of iPana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile with Cary Grant, Dinah Shore, Burt Gordon, the Mad Russian, Cookie Fairchild's Orchestra, the Ambassadors, yours truly, Harry Von Zell, and starring Eddie Cantor!
Kids all call him Johnny Zero. In school they always used to say,
Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero today.
The kids all laughed at Johnny Zero, and they would tease him when they'd play,
Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero today.
He couldn't concentrate on studies. His mind was always in the sky. When he grew up, he left his buddies, and Johnny learned how to fly. Now they still call him Johnny Zero, and all the pilots proudly say, Johnny got a zero, he got another zero, Johnny got a zero, hooray!
Johnny Zero is a hero today!
Ladies and gentlemen, hi, Harry.
What?
I should never have announced that Cary Grant is coming on the program tonight. There were hundreds of girls jammed around the front of the studio, and what trouble I had pushing and squeezing to get in the main entrance.
Yeah, well, why didn't you come through the side entrance?
What, and miss all that trouble? Yeah, but Harry, tell me honestly, don't I look wonderful? Don't I look wonderful, Harry?
Yeah,
Harry,
well,
do I look good? Do I look good, Harry?
Oh, look, Eddie, let's not kid ourselves. You're no glamour boy, you know.
Is that so? Then how come two of the girls in front of the studio mistook me for Cary Grant? How come? How come?
They mistook you for Cary Grant?
Yes, when I walked by, they yelled, Cary, Cary.
Well, what did you do?
I let him carry me. What could I do? I'm not as young as I used to be, but,
no.
But Harry, believe me, I'm just as popular as that Grant guy. Believe me,
you
Harry.
Are.
As a matter of fact, I've been told that women dream about me, Harry.
No.
They do, Harry.
Women dream about you? And...
Yeah, yeah.
Well...
They do, yes.
No wonder they look like that when they get up in the morning. No, Eddie, now listen, you take a fella like Grant.
Harry Grant, why do the women make such a fuss over him? What has he got, Harry?
He has a handsome face.
Yes.
He has a wonderful physique.
Yes.
Sparkling personality.
So what? What about me? What have I got? Oh, think, Harry, I must have something.
Let's see. Shall I start with your face, Eddie?
No, that's my finish. Look, Harry, let's... Start anyway. Start with my ankles. Harry, ask yourself, has Cary got such a glamorous pair of ankles? It's a pity to hide them in these socks, really. My ankles deserve sweaters. Oh, really? But even without them, I'm prettier than Grant. Forget my ankles.
All right. Now, how about your hips?
Skip my hips.
Your chest?
Drop my chest.
It's already dropped.
Yep, never mind. All right, Harry. Well, tell me, what is left of my beauty?
Well, there's an Adam's apple and a pair of tan shoes, is all I can say.
Why should you say those things?
Well, listen, Eddie, how can you compare yourself to a 6-foot Adonis like Cary?
Listen, he's not so much taller than me. Why, Cary sold me a suit of his own suit, Cary Grant.
Did?
And without alteration, I'm able to wear it. Of course, I feel a little silly when somebody asks me for a cigarette.
Well, what's that got to do with
it? I have to stand up in a chair to put my hands in my pants pocket.
You mean the trousers are that high?
High. Every time I want to sneeze, I have to pull them down.
Well, listen, Eddie, with Cary Grant coming over, the least you could have done was to get some new clothes.
I did have. You just can't see them, that's all. What I bought, you can't... I'm wearing something special that was made in Russia. Gorilla shorts.
I don't know. Gorilla shorts?
Yeah, they keep creeping up on you, Harry. Look, she's showing him.
Eddie, you spent the weekend at Carrie's house, didn't you?
Yes, and Harry, I've never seen such a fancy house as he has.
Really?
You know that he's got a grand piano, Harry? He's got a grand piano.
Well, what's so fancy about a grand piano?
The legs are wearing nylons.
Oh, Eddie, what a joke.
Well, what do you expect? My writers were inducted and their draft board is sending me jokes. Harry! Harry, where are you going to get good jokes these days?
What's that?
Come in. Yes?
Have you heard the one about the moron who saluted every Frigidaire in the army camp?
The moron who saluted every Frigidaire in the army camp?
Yes, he heard one of them was General Electric.
Where were we, Harry?
Well, we were talking about Cary Grant's house.
Oh, yeah, well, Harry, he's got the most elaborate radio with a shortwave attachment.
Oh.
I stayed up late the other night and tuned in on one of those Axis propaganda broadcasts from Berlin. I'll give you an idea what it sounded like. Take it away, Berlin. Let's go to press. The reason for all the bombings of Germany this week was the result of the Churchill-Roosevelt fireside chat. They're having the chat and we are having the files. A communique from Berchtesgaden regarding the Tunisian campaign, our beloved Führer has this to say, quote, "The loss of Africa means nothing. I must be firm. It means absolutely nothing. I must be honest. It means nothing. It means nothing. I must be nuts," unquote. Last, the Fuhrer wishes us to announce that we are planning a new war loan. If anybody wants this war, we will be glad to loan it to them. Marshal Rommel has something to say about the loss of Africa. The next voice you hear will be that of Marshal Rommel. Listen. Thank you.
Hiya, Mr. Cantor.
Well, shut my mouth. It's Dinah Shaw.
Gosh, I'm worried, Mr. Cantor. I got all my meat ration points together and invited Cary Grant over to my house for dinner.
Well, what's worrying you?
How do you stuff an 8-ounce roast?
Dinah, you're serving a little 8-ounce roast for you and Cary? Why, I could stick a roast like that in my eye.
In your eye, you could stick a turkey. But all I got is 4 points. Gee, if you are able to buy a big roast, what happens? You cook it and all the fat goes to waste.
Well, Dinah, the fat shouldn't go to waste. It should be saved. Remember, we're at war, and practically all of the glycerine needed for vital war materials must come from fats and grease saved in the nation's kitchens. It's very serious.
Are all countries faced with the same problem?
No, not all of them. Take Germany, for instance. All the Nazis have to do is to melt down Goering, and they've got enough fat for the duration. But over here, every drop of fat and grease is needed. Now, pour it into a clean can, take it to your meat dealer, and it will be converted into powerful explosives within 3 weeks. Think of it, Dinah. Do your part in the kitchen, and next month you might be mentioned in a communique.
A communique?
Yes. Might go like this. The American Air Force bombed Japan with the fats from Dinah Shaw's frying pan. 1 million Japs were blown to pieces. If you want 1 million more, save your greases. And now lovely Dinah Shaw sings You'll Never Know, one of the leading songs for... Come in. You again?
Did you hear the one about the moron who dropped a cow off of a cliff?
No.
He wanted to see the Jersey bounce.
Sing, Dinah.
You'll never know just how much I miss you. You'll never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love. you went away and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now. I speak your name with my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't.
I'd like to set you straight on one thing. You know, of course, I was kidding about all these girls coming to see Cary Grant. They're really here to see me, because the other thing was Joe.
You?
Yes. You must remember this face of mine is something to see. After all, it's as familiar as the map of this country, Harry. You know.
Yes.
What is the laughing for, please?
You're beginning to sag there around the Gulf of Mexico.
A wise guy with his... I suppose you're going to tell me that these girls are here to see you.
Oh,
they're all your fans, huh?
No. My fans are mothers, especially mothers with very small boys and girls.
How do you know that, Harry?
From letters I've received from some mothers lately.
Letters?
Yes. Very friendly letters commenting on something I said.
What was that you said, Harry?
Well, that all mothers today deserve a unanimous vote of thanks for doing some important soldiering on the home front. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, next to the family physician, a mother is the most important person in guarding the health of her family. That's why it's to every mother's interest to know about the best things for the health and well-being of her family. For instance, how to take intelligent care of teeth and gums. And a splendid way to do that is to visit your dentist faithfully, and in between visits, regularly use iPana toothpaste and gum massage.
Thank you, Cookie. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest with me tonight, a truly great actor, fine, distinguished gentleman, whose visit makes me sort of realize how Mr. Roosevelt must feel when Churchill drops him for tea. Our tall, dark, and handsome Adonis of the cinema has just returned from a long tour of American Army camps throughout the country, where he did a great job entertaining our men. Here he is, Cary Grant. Just look at this guy, will you? 195 pounds of solid man. Lady, put away your ration book. You can't take him home no matter how many points you got. Harry, it's a pleasure to see you.
Well, thanks, Eddie. And it's wonderful being here with you. You know, lots of people think you're radio's best actor, funniest comedian, and most talented star. See, I told you I could read that without laughing.
I can't kick that high. You know, Harry, besides Army bases, I also visited WAC camps.
Oh, yeah?
And I was very popular. Especially with those girl buglers. They love to play for me.
Go on, they did?
They must have. Every time I walked by, one girl said to the other, "Here comes Candle, let's blow." You know, Cary, some of those whack cams don't use a bugle anymore.
No bugle? Well, how do they get the girls up in the morning?
Captain just yelled, "Cary Grant's here, girls, come and get them." You know, you played so many army camps lately and met so many high officials. Maybe you can give me some information.
Shoot.
Why is it that the RAF and American planes have bombed every place in Germany except Berchtesgaden?
Oh, Eddie, don't you know?
Oh, what?
Why, that's where Roosevelt and Churchill are holding their next meeting.
Harry, you know, I've just noticed how tall you are. Gosh. I imagine you have a lot of trouble doing love scenes with a short leading lady, huh?
Well, I'll tell you. For me to kiss a movie star comfortably, she's got to be about 6 feet tall.
Then we ought to team up.
Why, how do you mean?
While you're kissing the skyscraper girls, I'll take care of the basement trades, you know what I mean?
Well, that won't be necessary. I finally found a way to kiss those little glamour girls without bending over.
How do you do it?
I tie them to a yo-yo and kiss them on the upswing.
Are you sure you don't need my help?
All right, if I must. Come out to the studio tomorrow, and if the glamour girls are too short, you can help me.
You want me to kiss them?
No, you boost them up.
Low man again. Look, Carrie, maybe you can give me a few tips on how to appeal to the ladies. I'd like to know from you.
Sure, Eddie, sure. Just play hard to get. Now, if.
Yes?
If Hedy Lamarr puts her arms around you and wants you to kiss her, ignore her. That'll drive her crazy.
Yeah, it'll drive her crazy, huh? How do I keep from going nuts? You know, Carrie, I'm just thinking, all these jokes about kissing girls strikes me funny.
Why, what do you mean?
The writer writes them, I read them, and a guy like you gets them. You know, Carrie, I was once young and attractive.
Well, when was that? Before your reincarnation?
Wait, what does it say? Oh, are you insinuating that I died and came back again?
Have you got a better excuse?
Carrie, I've got a good mind to tell my family. Oh. Come in. He's in again.
Did you hear the one about the moron whose mother has been knitting him 3 socks at a time?
Why has she been knitting him 3 socks at a time?
Since he joined the army, he's grown another foot.
See the kind of screwballs that bother me? I bet you never had that trouble, do you, Carrie?
Well, every once in a while I get a silly fan letter. Here's one I got from a woman this morning.
You got it right here? Well, read it. We'd like to hear it.
Okay, if you say so.
Go ahead.
It says, Dear Carrie, I see you in all your pictures, and I keep thinking how I would love to elope with you. There's only one thing wrong. I've got a husband.
Oh.
But you're the one I dream of. Every night I stay awake thinking of you.
How do you like that? Poor husband probably knocks himself out working 2 shifts at Lockheed. He comes home, and what happens? She stays awake on his time.
Says, believe me, Carrie, as soon as my husband leaves for work, I run off quickly to see your pictures. And I stay so long in the movies, I never get home in time to cook dinner.
Oh, that's fine. The wife gets stuck on you in hot love scenes, the husband gets stuck with cold cuts. Beautiful. Go ahead.
I keep taking him to movies and telling him he's got to learn how to make love like you and Tyrone Power. But when he kisses me, it's still Abbott and Costello.
Oh, the poor jerk.
That's all for now. All my love, signed, Ida.
That's my wife. Then I'm the jerk.
I'll do, you'll do.
Oh, Carrie, you're fooling. I know you don't mean any more to Ida than the man in the... Wait a minute, that's me. Hello, this is Eddie Cantor.
This is Ida. Let me talk to him.
Him?
That's me, Eddie. I'll take it. Hello, Ida.
Oh, Carrie. For weeks you've been promising to tell me. You must tell me now. You must.
Well, I couldn't not hear.
Oh, please. It's all right. No one will know.
Yeah, but in front of Eddie.
Go ahead. I won't know, remember? I'm a jerk.
How do you do?
Oh, quiet.
Carrie, I can't wait any longer. You've been promising to tell me for so long.
But, Ida, I...
Go on, please. Say it.
Well, okay. Now, listen carefully. You take 2 cups of flour and beat up the whites of 3 eggs and a spoonful of cinnamon, a little vanilla, and chocolate sauce. I think Eddie would like it that way.
Oh, Eddie, he's such a sweet man. Look at him.
After cooking in a moderate oven for 10 minutes, leave it on the table with a cup of coffee for Eddie.
Yes.
Then meet me at the Brown Derby. We'll have dinner together.
Oh, you were fooling, Carrie. I happen to know that my wife... is not on the phone. She's here in the audience tonight. And you mean nothing to her. It's Ida in the fifth row. Carrie, I wonder if you'd say hello to her. Will you say hello to her out
there?
Go ahead.
Hello, Ida.
Carry her out, boys. Carry her out. Take her out, sir. What is the strange power that you've got over women that makes... Come in. Here we go again.
Did you hear about the moron who spent all day wandering through a lumber yard?
No. Why did he wander through a lumber yard?
He wanted to see what a draft board looked like.
Out.
One moment, gentlemen. Can you guess what I have concealed in the palm of my hand?
In the palm of your hand? Let me see. The Golden Gate Bridge?
No.
The Hollywood Bowl?
Now,
I got it. The Los Angeles Symphony Orchestra.
Yes. But who's conducting?
Now, when you get out, please get out.
Just a moment, please, please. Did you hear about the moron?
Yeah, wait, just wait a minute. Who is this moron?
Me.
I wonder who that guy is.
Well, don't you know him, Eddie? He's my friend, Don Barkley. Remember, he was one of the big stars of Big Bell.
Well, of course, Don Barkley, the Follies of 1970. Gosh, Carrie, I'll never forget Don Barkley and all the people in that show. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, what a thrill it must have been to see your name on the marquee, all lit up in front of the theater.
Yes, and I'd walk around to the stage and see W.C. Fields all lit up in back of the theater. Oh, it was beautiful. Yes, Harry, those were the good old days.
Yeah, you bet they were. You know, Eddie, I came home from my job one night in Coney Island just in time to see you in the New Amsterdam Theater, prancing up and down the stage, singing.
How you gonna keep them down on the pond after they see Harry? How you gonna keep them away from Broadway, chasing around, painting the town? How you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery. Imagine Reuben when he meets his pa. He'll kiss his cheek and holler, ooh la la. How you gonna keep him down on the farm after they've seen Harry?
Oh, master.
What is it, Cookie Fairchild?
You know what my fiddle player Sam just said?
No.
He said Mr. Cary Grant has gone around in a complete circle.
Complete circle?
Yeah. Sam says Mr. Grant started his career in Coney Island, worked with corny honky-tonk entertainers, then he became famous in the movies, and now he's right back where he started, working with you.
Tell Sam he's fired. Will you tell him, Cook?
Sam also said, at least Mr. Grant is only here this week.
Yeah.
But the rest of us aren't doing so good. We're here every week.
Yeah. I'll kill that Sam, but before I do, you tell him he's wrong. I know at least one person on this program who does plenty of good.
Who?
Well, Harry Von Zell, that's who. He does plenty of good each week for all of our listeners when he suggests how they can feel better faster.
Thank you, Eddie. And ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely hope many of you have benefited by remembering this simple truth. When you wake up in the morning feeling dull and headachy due to the need of a laxative, you will feel better faster if you'll take Sal Hepatica right away.
Oh, Cary Grant.
Yes, dear?
What?
Oh, sorry, I thought it was Dinah. Shoot.
Yeah, listen, I just got a call from the War Department. They said your tour of American Army camps was so successful, the chairman of the Overseas Entertainment Committee wants you to go abroad with him.
What, you mean the chairman of the Overseas Entertainment Committee? Who is he?
Who?
Who?
How do you do?
Russian, what's this about you being the head of the Overseas Entertainment Committee?
It's true, it's true. Cary, my boy, how would you like to come to Russia to entertain the soldiers?
Well, I'd be glad to, but after entertaining all the boys, how would I get out of Russia?
Just follow the Germans.
Hey, Russian, tell me, what sort of show did you have in mind?
Very romantic.
Yeah?
Yes.
Wonderful.
You see, at the opening, I come out and sing. I left my heart at the Moscow canteen.
You left your heart at the Moscow canteen?
Should have left my face, huh?
What does Cary do? Tell us what he's...
Cary Grant, you will entertain the soldiers. Then the Russian girls will entertain you. Then I will entertain the Russian girls.
Then what happens?
Who crossed out the next line?
Russian, tell me. You know who crossed it out. Tell me, have you had any experience in the Soviet theater?
Oodles. My dear citizen.
Yes.
I was Russia's greatest motion picture star. I will never forget my last picture.
What was the title?
Hop Along, Molotov, and Dead Man's Ghost.
Who produced it?
Me. Yeah. Russia, I wrote, acted, produced, and directed my own picture.
Really? Who was your cameraman?
You gotta have a camera.
Stop stalling, Russian. We want to know exactly, before I permit Cary Grant to go, we must know, what does he do in your show? Yes.
The greatest role of his career.
Yes.
He comes out wearing part of my Cossack costume.
Yes, yes.
I am wearing the coat and Carrie is wearing the trousers. That's very funny, very funny.
Carrie is wearing your trousers?
Yeah.
What's so funny about it?
Grants in my pants.
Stick around, Carrie. I have a message for you in just a minute. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, we introduced on this program a brand new song, In My Arms. We've had so many requests that tonight we repeat it with some new words. Cookie, if you please. In my arms, in my arms, ain't I never gonna get a girl in my arms. In my arms, in my arms, ain't I never gonna get a bundle of charms. Comes the dawn, I'll be gone. I'll be heading for the very thick of the fight. You can wine and dine a cigarette me, but if you really want to get me, give me a girl in my arms tonight.
In my arms, in my arms.
Ain't I never gonna get a girl in my arms.
In my arms, in my arms.
Ain't I never gonna get a bundle of charms.
Comes the dawn, you'll be gone.
And though I don't want to seem a bit impolite, all those magazines could not be greater, but I can do my reading later.
Give me a girl in my arms tonight.
Cary Grant, we appreciate your coming here tonight. We really do. And on behalf of our men in service everywhere, those that you and Don Barkley have entertained, thanks. Good luck to both of you on your new tour.
Thank you, Eddie. And good night, everybody.
Did you hear about the moron?
Oh, get out of here, Don Barkley. Go on. Our guest stars in the coming weeks will be Mary Boland, Rochester, Joey Brown, and Mickey Rooney. And in the meantime, remember,
I love to spend each Wednesday with you.
Good night.
Eddie Cantor's show, It's Time to Smile, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 19th, 1943 on NBC. Cary Grant's special guest was in two motion pictures that year as Joe Adams in Mr. Lucky and as Captain Cassidy in the Oscar-nominated war picture Destination Tokyo, alongside John Garfield and Dane Clark. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, and now we hear Cary Grant once again, now reprising his role as Jim Blandings from the 1948 H.C. Potter picture Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House from July 1st, 1949 on NBC.
Director's Playhouse, production Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, director H.C. Potter, star Cary Grant. The Hollywood Screen Directors present a blueprint for laughter. Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, starring Cary Grant, and introducing the director of the film, H.C. Potter. The directing of motion pictures can ordinarily be expected to satisfy anyone's urge for creative achievement, but not our guest screen director tonight. For he's also the director of such significant Broadway plays as A Belle for Adano and Anne of a Thousand Days. On the screen, he's brought you such fine entertainment as Mr. Lucky, The Farmer's Daughter, and tonight's story, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. H.C. Potter.
Thank you. People laugh at most comedies because something funny happens to the characters. But in the case of Mr. Blandings, they laugh because the joke was on them, as millions of Mr. Blandings saw themselves discovering the ferocious fact that homes are built, not born. Now, Mr. Blandings built his dream house for the first time on the air, starring Cary Grant in his original role of Jim, with Francis Robinson as Muriel.
was once a carefree fellow who swung happily through the jungle trees, every man his own Tarzan. But then he wanted to get out of the trees and into caves. Then he yearned to get out of the caves into a house. He's still yearning. This is the story of Jim Blandings, New York apartment dweller, who yearned to get out of his cave. Tall, good-looking, college graduate, advertising business, VP in charge of the Wham Ham account. Has two fine daughters and one lovely, intelligent wife named Muriel. I'm Muriel. Every morning in our apartment, we fought for first, with the bathroom the big bonanza. Started first thing in the morning, I'd open one eye, and there would be Jim nuzzling the furniture like a strange dog. Looking for something, dear?
My socks.
Why don't you look in your sock drawer?
That's where I found my underwear.
Try your underwear drawer.
I am in my underwear drawer.
Well, what did you find?
Your underwear.
Then the Great American Bathroom Derby. And there goes Jim Blandings, an odds-on favorite. He's at the door. He opens it.
Sorry.
Father, I wish you'd knock.
That was Betsy, age 10. Joan has a different scream.
Gown.
Conditions being what they were in our apartment, Jim would shave while I brush my teeth.
Oh, Muriel.
Sorry, did you cut yourself?
I cut myself every morning. I kind of look forward to it.
Bill Cole uses an electric razor and...
Bill Cole does not have my beard.
Bill's beard is just as tough and stubborn...
I am not interested in discussing the grain and texture of Bill Cole's hair follicles before I have my orange juice, please.
And so forth. Until one morning, Jim saw an ad in the paper.
Listen to this, Muriel.
Hmm?
Forced to sell. Farm dwelling. Original beams. Oak Grove. Trout stream. Meadows. Superb view. Will sacrifice.
So?
Spend $6,000-$7,000. We can have a home of our own. A dream house.
Oh, Jim. Do you really think we could?
Doesn't cost anything to look.
Well, there she stands, folks. The old Hackett place. Finest old house in Connecticut.
My, it's just charming.
Dear, we're just looking.
First year she was here, General Gates stopped right there to water his horses. Yes, sir. If you act fast, you can get that place for a steal. And I mean a steal.
Tell me, Smith, what are you hoping to get for that broken-down old relic?
Well, we're asking $10,000.
$10,000?
He's asking. How much will you take?
$10,000.
Well, that's more like it. We'll take it. Good morning. Good morning, Gussie. Good morning, children.
Good morning, Mr. Blandings.
Good morning, Father.
Morning, Muriel.
Morning, dear.
I'll go get your wham and eggs now, Mr. Blanding.
Well, girls, did your mother tell you about our new home?
Yes.
Well?
Our teacher, Miss Stillwagon, says the current craze for modernizing old farmhouses is a form of totem worship.
Oh, Miss Stillwagon does, huh?
Well, I was just thinking, Jim, $10,000 was more than you wanted to pay for a place.
It was a steal, Muriel. It was larceny.
Shouldn't we see a lawyer? Bill Cole would have...
For once in my life, I want to make a decision without Bill Cole.
Well, he's your lawyer.
Only because he was your old college beau. Now, I don't want Bill Cole puttering with this. That's final. No Bill Cole. Well, there's our house, Bill. What do you think?
What's that?
Just a few shingles.
Oh, it's a nice old house, Bill. It just needs someone to love. That's all.
It's a good thing there are two of you. One to love it and one to hold it up. What'd your engineer say when he checked the foundation in that roof?
Who needs engineers? This isn't a train.
I just saw it move.
Now, look here, Bill. It so happens that General Gates stopped at this very house to water his horses.
I don't care if General Grant stopped in for a cold beer. You're getting rooked.
Jim, you don't think we've made a mistake.
Oh, now listen to me, both of you. I've gone out and found what I'm not ashamed to call my dream house. It's like a beautiful painting. You buy it with your heart, not with your head. Because it's beautiful and you love it. And when I sign those papers Saturday, I can look the world in the face and say it's mine. My house. My home. My 50 acres.
Our house. Our home. Our 50 acres.
Well, all right. You better let me have Joe Apollonio look the house over for you.
Who?
He's the man who advised the government not to raise the Normandy.
Oh, no.
They didn't listen to him and wasted $5 million.
Bill, you have my word. If I were raising the Normandy, I wouldn't make a move without Joe Apollonio.
Okay. Okay, Jim. Muriel, I kiss goodbye for an old college chum, and I'll be on my way.
I'm going to look around inside again. Coming along, Muriel?
Jim, the porch floor! Oh, dear.
Well, don't just stand there. Get me out of this hole.
Bill?
Hey!
I guess you'd better get in touch with Joe Apollonio.
Any small changes in this house, Mr. Apollonio, would have to conform with the character of the countryside.
Uh-huh.
And still be functional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Apollonio, what's your professional opinion?
Tear it down.
Tear it down?
Tear it down. Get yourself an architect and build a new house.
Get an architect?
Build a new house.
We certainly will not get an architect.
Build a new house.
The idea.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, four experts later, we got ourselves an architect and had the old house torn down and began to discuss plans for a brand new house.
And lots of closet space, Mr. Sims. If there's one thing this family needs, it's closet space.
Closet space.
And bedrooms, Mr. Sims. Four big, roomy, airy bedrooms.
Four bedrooms, Mr. Blanding?
And each bedroom to have at least one bathroom.
And
with your limited budget, couldn't you do with one less bathroom?
Well, of course.
Absolutely not.
It'll save $1,300.
I refuse to endanger the health of my children in a house with less than four bathrooms.
Muriel, for $1,300, they can live in a house with three bathrooms and rough it. Mr. Sims, we'd like a terrace off the study and a three-car garage and, of course, a bar. We must have a bar.
Of course. What else?
Just one thing. Keep the cost down to $10,000.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, you've done it again.
Done what?
What's wrong, Bill?
Did that idiot Sims let you tear down your house without consulting me?
Well, what if he did? What of it?
Wasn't anyone aware of the legality involved?
What did I do? What did I do? Tell me.
Didn't you realize that you're dealing with Ephemus Hackett?
Will you tell me what crime I've committed?
Jim, what in the world did you do?
I don't know. He won't tell me.
You merely tore down a house on which Hackett held a $6,000 mortgage, which now becomes fully payable upon demand, and Mr. Hackett does so demand.
Where'll we get it?
Well, I suppose I could turn in my insurance policies.
No, Jim. Not yet. No, rather than see you do that, I'll be glad to sign a note for that amount.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, forget it. Well, kiss goodbye for an old college chum? Muriel, old chum?
Huh?
Goodbye, Bill.
Hey!
So long, Jim.
Bye.
What a wonderful friend.
You know, what's with this kissing all of a sudden? Lately, every time he leaves this apartment, he shakes hands with me and kisses you.
Would you prefer it the other way around?
Well, I don't like it, that's all. Why doesn't he get married or something?
Because he can't find another girl as sweet and pretty and wholesome as I am. Oh, darling, it isn't Bill. It's the house you're upset about.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It isn't too late to change our minds about the house, Jim. Mm.
Muriel, so far, our $10,000 house has cost us $24,698.45. Well, but there's one thing you've got to admit.
What?
We've got the prettiest vacant lot in the state of Connecticut.
They cleared the ground for the house. They began digging. They struck solid rock. They had to blast it.
Blast it?
It was now $27,000. And down at the office, Jim's deadline for the new slogan for Wham! Was getting nearer.
Mary.
Yes, sir.
How about this? When you want a snack of ham, Why not take a whack at Wham?
Do you want a professional opinion?
Never mind.
The highly touted trout stream dried up. We had to dig a well. At $4.50 a foot, Jim thought he ought to have a word with Mr. Tassander, digger of wells.
Mr. Tassander! Oh, Mr. Tassander!
Yep.
How's it coming?
Oh, it's coming.
No, I mean, Mr. Tassander!
Yep.
I meant,
How far down are you?
Oh, about 190 feet.
Well, isn't that pretty deep?
Yep.
Have you hit anything at all?
Hit some nice limestone yesterday.
Limestone?
Yep.
Oh, swell. Nothing on a hot day like a nice cold glass of limestone. Oh, nothing. Go right ahead. I'll just slink back to my office and lob the petty cash.
And then, wonderful to relate, we had our well at last. In fact, we had two wells. One in the yard and another in our basement, 6 feet down.
Now, how do you explain it, Mr. Tassander? The men hit good water in my basement at 6 feet. And over there, just 25 yards away, you had to go down 227 feet to hit the same water.
Yep.
Well, how do you account for it?
Well, the way it seems to me, over here, the water's down around 6 feet. And over there, it's down around 227 feet.
Yep.
There you are, Mr. Blanding, your favorite breakfast dish.
Gussie.
Not Wham again.
I love it.
I hate it.
Gussie, I spend 8 long hours a day selling this stuff. I know all about its succulent goodness, its sugar-cured tenderness, its vitamin-drenched good flavor.
Oh, you don't have to sell me, Mr. Blanding. I like it. Beef and lamb, don't raid with Wham.
Night and day under the hide of me, Wham.
Dear, Bill's driving me out to the house again today.
Every time I turn around, Bill's driving you out to the house.
He's only being helpful.
I thought he was a lawyer. Why isn't he out suing somebody? who's that? Hello? Oh, good morning, Bill.
Oh, give him my love.
Wait a minute. What? Oh, that's outrageous. Just what does the owner of this apartment mean I've got to move in 30 days?
Oh, fine.
No. I know my rights. I have no intention of moving in 30 days. No. Well, how can I move into a house without doors and windows? This is not legal, and I want you to fight it. I don't care if it takes every penny I've got. I am not moving. Right. Yeah. All right.
Well?
We're moving in 30 days.
We moved in 30 days into a house with no doors, no windows, and no carpet. We walked around in our overcoats, and at no time did General Eisenhower drive up to share a cup of hot toddy with us. Instead, the green-eyed monster showed up, that old devil Jealousy, because Jim, while unpacking, came across Bill Cole's fraternity pin and my college diary. He didn't say anything until just before we went to bed.
I merely asked a question. What is Bill Cole's fraternity pin doing in your jewel box? Especially after you told me you gave it back to him 15 years ago.
Jim Blandings, I think you're jealous.
Yeah, and his name all over your diary.
Oh, now you've been reading my diary.
Well, it just happened to fall open.
I'll just bet.
If you were so crazy about the guy, why did you marry me?
I'm beginning to wonder. Maybe it was those big cow eyes of yours. Or that ridiculous hole in your chin. Or maybe I just happened to fall in love with you. But don't ask me why.
Oh, Muriel, I'm sorry. Sometimes I act like a schoolboy. Forgive me.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, why do I love you so much?
Darling, awfully late. Maybe better go down and lock the doors.
Well, what for? The windows are all out anyway.
We better get to bed.
Yeah. Do you think the mattress will hold on these four chairs?
Certainly.
Good night, dear.
Good night.
Good evening, Danton and Bascom Advertising. Oh, yes, Mrs. Blandings, he's right here. It's your wife, boss.
Yes, Muriel? Yes, it's rainy here, too. Well, no, I'm sorry, dear, I can't make it for dinner. I'm going to be here all night with this slogan. What? Bill is coming to dinner. Bill. Oh, all right, Muriel, I've got to get back to work. Bye, Muriel. Bill.
Boss, how's this for a slogan? East is east and west is west. Ham is ham, but wham is best. Sorry.
Mm. Wait a minute. How's this? If you'd buy better ham, you'd better buy wham.
That's Boyle Petroleum. You better buy oil, you better buy Boyle.
Yeah, confound those monopolies. Wait a minute. I've got it. Win with wham, the ham that came from behind. Oh, no.
Brother.
Well, by 5 o'clock in the morning, Jim gave up in disgust and started out for the house.
Jim, dear.
Morning, Muriel.
Oh, you must be exhausted. How'd it go?
Oh, fine.
Oh, Muriel, I can't seem to find Jim's other slipper. Oh. Hello, Jim.
Morning, Bill. What brings you... What are you doing in my pajamas and dressing gown?
Well, how would I look without them?
Bill dropped in and had to stay all night when the bridge was washed out.
Yeah? Slept like a rock.
Rock. Slept like...
Good morning, folks. Sure hope it wasn't as bad here last night as it was in Lansdale.
Gussie wasn't here last night?
Lansdale.
Saw the girls at the Williamses. They'll be along for breakfast any minute.
The children weren't here last night either?
Visiting the Williamses.
Williamses?
If you'll excuse me, I'll slip into something more comfortable.
Williamses?
Now, Jim, you're upset. You've a lot of things on your mind, and...
There's only one thing on my mind. This house and how to get rid of it.
That's not what you're thinking.
Well, maybe I'm thinking I was once a happy man. I didn't have a closet, and I didn't have 3 bathrooms, but I did have my sanity, a few dollars in the bank, 2 children who loved me, and a wife I could trust.
That's a fine thing to say.
I also had a job, something I don't have at the moment.
Jim.
I'm resigning, and I blame this house for everything.
You love this house.
I hate it. Anybody who builds a house today is crazy. The minute you start, you're on the All-American sucker list. Every way you turn, there's a hand in your pocket. Take out the hand, they find more pockets. I tell you, it's a conspiracy against every man and woman who want a home of their own. Against every boy and girl who were ever in love. Against...
Excuse me, Mr. Blandings.
Now, what do you want, Mr. DeSander? We've got our well.
There's a matter of $12.86.
Oh, $12.86. Why be a piker, Mr. DeSander? Take everything I've got. Here, take my watch, my keys, my pocket money, my driver's license, my wallet. Take it all.
Mr. Blandings, you don't understand. This $12.86, you don't owe me. I owe you.
Huh?
I found an overcharged jam the well. Almost 3 feet.
3 feet?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Tassam.
Well, guess I better be getting along. Sure got a mighty pretty place here. Now, you folks take good care of it. Goodbye.
Wonderful man, DeSander.
Come and get it, folks. Orange juice, scrambled eggs, and you know what?
Ham.
Not ham, wham. If you ain't eating wham, you ain't eating ham.
Wait. What did she say?
If you ain't eating wham, you...
You ain't eating ham. Darling, that's it. The slogan. Give Gussie a $10 raise.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, Muriel.
Oh, and darling, you didn't mean what you said. You do love our house, don't you?
Oh, Muriel, I don't know. If I had it to do all over again, If I had to put up with tearing it down and architects and well diggers and builders and contractors and bathrooms, if I had to mortgage my future, my job, my peace of mind, just to wind up with a house, a simple $45,000 house, if I had it to do all over again...
Yes.
I guess I'd do it.
Mr. Blandings, of course, is none other than Cary Grant.
Well, I think it's time the director Hank Potter and I revealed the truth about the real Mr. Blandings, huh?
Oh, you mean the fellow who actually built the house?
It's a sad story, isn't it, Hank?
Poor Mr. Blandings. The inevitable finally caught up with him.
Mm-hmm. His house was finished.
He bought his furniture.
He planted his lawn.
The dream house was complete.
And then they came.
The little men in white coats.
Yeah, they took him away, Jimmy.
Daffy?
Leaky faucets. Well, good night, Hank. Good night, Hank. Good night, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And good night to you, Cary Grant and H.C. Potter.
The Screen Director's Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from July 1st, 1949 on NBC. An adaptation of one of Cary Grant's comedies, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. And that wraps it up for this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.